If you are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Our reading today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the count of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Around the Leopold family dinner table, our kids are always asking us to hear stories from our childhood. They want to know when mom and dad were little, what was it like? It's usually the same 10 stories that they ask over and over again. And for some reason, they really like the stories when dad got hurt. I don't really know what that's about, but those are the ones they want to hear over and over again. And I'm always just fascinated how interested they are in it. It doesn't matter how many times they've heard it, they want to hear it again. I think it shows us a bit of our humanity. God is gracious in our children to show us a bit of who we are, that we're kind of sometimes a little bit too hard of heart to admit when we're adults. But we need stories. We need stories to make sense of the journey that we're on. We're going to call it a little bit of the way that we're on today. The stories we tell are like road signs along the ways of life. For kids, it helps them make sense of this new world that they're living in, how to make sense of getting bigger in the world. For parents, for older people, we just need stories to remind us of what is familiar, to help us come back to what we know when the world seems very uncertain and very uneasy. Jesus, the shepherd of our souls, knew his disciples would need to hear stories. And we're going to look at this great I am statement today, but I want to remind us that it's in the context of a story. Jesus knew that the disciples would need truth to mark their way. Robbie reminded us of the context of what we're doing. He is ready to go on his way to the cross. And as we prepare our hearts to receive anew the significance of the resurrection, we want to relive the drama of what transpired in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And we are getting to see some of the signposts that Jesus left for the disciples for their way on the journey. So yes, this well-known statement of I am, a lot of our passages of scripture will contain an I am statement this week. On Sunday, we looked at I am the resurrection and the life. Today, we're looking at I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said this. And I think it's easy because in Christianity, we hear that verse over and over again, and we think it's just a doctrinal statement, a fact. But let's remember that it comes to us in response to a question. Jesus is approaching a friend. I love that we just sang, what a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is approaching a friend and telling and responding to his question. And we're going to actually look at a little bit of the life of that friend, Thomas. It's kind of interesting. The Gospel of John is the only gospel that really tells us more about the life of Thomas. So I think we should pay attention to it. The other gospels just merely list him as on the list of disciples. But he has kind of several different experiences in the Gospel of John. Chapter 11, he's actually involved with the raising of Lazarus. In verse 16, he talks about, he actually makes this appeal that he wants to go and die too, like Lazarus. It's kind of this brazen moment of courage that he's just kind of throwing himself into this story and saying, yes, I want to die too, not fully understanding the purpose of what Jesus was doing through raising Lazarus from the dead. Here in chapter 14, we see this question in verse 5 that Jesus is asking, or that Thomas is asking of Jesus. Despite kind of rather emphatically just before that, Jesus tells him the answer to his question in verse 4. And we'll go on to see later on in the gospel, Thomas would have been among the disciples who would leave Jesus' side during his trial and crucifixion. Many of us know the famous moments with Thomas in chapter 20, the Gospel of John, the doubting Thomas moment, how he gets his infamous name, where he is needing to see the wounds of Jesus in his hands in order to believe that Jesus had truly died and come back to life. Jesus lovingly responded to him. He allowed him to touch and then actually exhorted him that those are blessed who believe, who have not seen and yet believe. And the funny thing from that moment too, from Thomas experiencing Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, we know from church history, Thomas would go on from that moment to preach the gospel, to plant churches in Persia, China, and India. And many believe he was actually martyred for his faith at the end of his life. So who is this Thomas? He's certainly more than just doubting Thomas that we hear from a lot of phrases. I actually see some courage in him. We know that he just followed Jesus. He was one of his disciples. He just left what he had there and picked up what he could carry and followed Jesus. And yet we see continually that he sort of misunderstands Jesus' comments, particularly when it comes to his death and resurrection. And here we come to, you know, verses 2, 3, and 4 in our passage, and kind of the essence of Thomas's question. And actually, you know, Thomas kind of gets called out. He has a bad rap, but I would venture to say all of the disciples were asking this question, and Thomas just kind of represents them in this moment. They just have not fully grasped what Jesus has said about the destination on the way. Even though in verses 2 through 3, Jesus plainly tells them where it is that Jesus is going and where it is that he's going to take them. Thomas wanted more information. It's hard to kind of say why that is. I sort of see myself in Thomas, so I can make some ventures to say. Maybe his mind just didn't fully comprehend the idea of heaven quite yet. Maybe it was his heart. Maybe his heart could not handle the idea of losing a friend that he has been with for 3 years. Maybe it was just his will. Maybe he was unwilling to leave behind what they knew in this world to the idea of what would be coming in the next. What we see in the beauty of Jesus here is he just didn't take Thomas's question and directly answer it. He could have said, silly Thomas. He could have said, didn't you not just hear what I just said? But he didn't say that. He offered himself. Jesus showed that Thomas was asking a question that would lead to a less significant answer. He doesn't even actually say Thomas and say, why did you ask that question? He just gives a lovingly kind of change of perspective. Thomas asked the how was it going to be? And Jesus answered with the who it was going to be. And I think we're all a little bit more like Thomas than we'd like to admit. I struggle with reducing faith in Jesus to just simply learning facts about Jesus, purely intellectually ascending to those thoughts about him. That's what Christianity is all about. There's these beliefs, and I just need to believe them, and that's it. And yes, to be a Christian means to believe a baseline of truths. If we're going to follow Jesus, we have to believe something about him in order to follow him. And we do have to intellectually ascend to those truths. But it's much more than that. When one puts their faith in Jesus, yes, our whole worldview changes. But I ask the question, are we following a worldview or are we following a person? We can't forget the love of the Savior. The love of the Savior is what has transformed our minds to see the world differently. We don't have the facts about God apart from dependence on the Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. How are you tempted to try to rationalize God instead of actively taking the hand of the Savior? So Jesus doesn't always tell us the why or how, but he always gives him himself. Verse 1 from our passage says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and also believe in me." And Jesus goes on to describe himself as the way. But what was the way that Jesus was going to take in making himself the way, the truth, and the life for us? We remember that Jesus, from this point on in the story, he would continue to teach. We have another couple days of preaching here, so come back for it. Jesus would continue to teach. He would sweat blood. He would beg the Father for another way. He would be betrayed. He would receive injustice. He would then be beaten, flogged, bloodied, put on the crown of thorns, his hands and feet nailed to the cross, die an agonizing, suffocating death, and then feel the torment of his soul in hell. All this to make our way look a little different. What about our way? For those who put their trust in Jesus, knowing that Jesus has taken the way of judgment and destruction so that we may have the way of truth and life, he has changed our way to look something a little more like this. These are promises taken from Psalm 23, put in different words. The way to trust in a shepherd, a good shepherd who feeds his sheep everything they need along the way the sheep do not want. The way of being led by him to green pastures, even when we fight him. The way of being led beside still waters. The way of being restored at the level of our soul. The way of knowing what is right. The way of freedom from fear, even though the darkness of death looms closely. The way of comfort that comes from the protection of the shepherd. The way of provision, knowing that a table is set for us, even though our enemies are close around. The way of being anointed to preach the message of the way, the truth, and the life that has been given to us. The way of knowing God will never leave us all the days of our life, and that our future is secure in the house of the Lord forever. I encourage you throughout this day to look back at Psalm 23 and just reflect on how our way is different because Jesus took the way of destruction and death. I said earlier in my introduction that Jesus gave his disciples stories as signposts to mark their way as he was on his way to the cross. The statement was true, but it was incomplete. Jesus didn't just give them stories. He gave them himself, and that is what they needed. I'm going to close us in a time of prayer, and after my prayer, we're going to have a time of silent reflection for yourself as you consider the way, the truth, and the life. God, we thank you for your graciousness to take our questions and to transform them and give us truth. God, we confess that we are often tempted to ask the how when we need to be asking the who. God, as a church body, we come to you troubled. We come to you in a state of suffering. And yet we are grateful that you have given us yourself. God, I pray that you would help us to remember that the truths of who you are important, but ultimately that you extend the hand to us. Help us to know when to take the hand, to even see in that hand the nails on the cross, the holes in your hands from the nails on the cross, and to come to you in worship and dependence, and to have our view of this world transformed because of it.